This is Audible.
The Motivation Manifesto, written by Brendan Burchard, read by me, Brendan Burchard. All religions, arts, and sciences are branches of the same tree. All these aspirations are directed toward ennobling man's life, lifting it from the sphere of mere physical existence and leading the individual towards freedom. Albert Einstein. Conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. John F. Kennedy. The Declaration of Personal Power. There comes a time in the lives of those destined for greatness, when we must stand before the mirror of meaning and ask, why, having been endowed with the courageous heart of a lion, do we live as mice? We must look squarely into our own tired eyes and examine why we waste so much time sniffing at every distraction, why we cower at the thought of revealing our true selves to the world, why we scurry so quickly from conflict, and why we consent to play small. We must ask why we participate so humbly in society's frantic race, allowing ourselves into its mazes of mediocrity and settling for scraps of reward, when nature has offered unlimited freedom, power, and abundance to the bold, the determined, the creative, the independent, to each of us. We must ask if our desires to feel safe and accepted are in fact enslaving us to popular opinion and to boredom. We must ask, when will we be ready to ascend to another level of existence? When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to ask such questions and to dissolve the beliefs and behaviors that have limited us, assuming once more the full powers of our being to which God and the laws of nature have entitled us. A decent respect to humankind requires that we should declare the motives that impel us to exert our strength and to separate ourselves from those who stunt our vitality, growth, and happiness. We must declare our personal power and freedom. We hold these truths self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, though we do not live equal lives due to differences in will, motivation, effort, and habit, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but that it is incumbent upon each of us to be vigilant and disciplined should we wish to attain such a vital, free, and happy life. We believe the greatest of human powers is the ability to independently think for ourselves, to choose our own aims, affections, and actions. For in the hearts of humankind lives a natural instinct for freedom and independence, a psychological predisposition for self-direction, a biological imperative toward growth, and a spiritual joy in choosing and advancing one's own life. It is the main motivation of humankind to be free, to express our true selves and pursue our dreams without restriction, to experience what may be called personal freedom. To secure these rights and this personal freedom, men and women of conscience must not consent to be controlled by fear, convention, or the will of the masses. We must govern our own lives, and when our thoughts and actions become destructive, it is our responsibility to alter or abolish them and to institute new habits as the foundations for a freer, happier life. We must exert our power, improving how we think and how we interact with the world. When a long chain of self-oppressions and social controls has reduced our strength and independence, it is our right, our duty, to throw off such a life, rise anew, and charge unencumbered through the gates of greatness. We have patiently suffered long enough, hoping that someone or some kind of luck would one day grant us more opportunity and happiness. But nothing external can save us, and the fateful hour is at hand when we either become trapped at this level of life, or we choose to ascend to a higher plane of consciousness and joy. In this ailing and turbulent world, we must find peace within and become more self-reliant in creating the life we deserve. This will be a difficult effort, as the history of our actions too often tells a tale of self-injury and unhappiness stemming from our blind desire to be judged worthy, acceptable, and lovable by people who hardly know our true hearts and powers. And so we have kept ourselves down. We forgot to set clear intentions and standards, and too often failed to voice our desires and dreams. Randomness and mediocrity too often ruled the day, and the loud and the needy dictated who we were and what we should do, our lives becoming subject to the tyranny of fools. If we can be vulnerable and brave enough to admit such missteps, we might see the potential we left unrealized. We might see a shining new path. And so let us write our lives. Let us face the mirror and be candid. No matter what we see, let us use these common human truths and personal declarations to reclaim our freedom. We are too often lost in the abyss of unawareness. We regularly miss the energy and the blessings around us and the importance of this very moment. It's as though we prefer to be elsewhere, doing something else, as if we are living in distant time zones, hours behind or ahead of the joyous tick and bliss of now. We have forgotten that the natural foe to life is not a distant death, but a present, in-the-moment detachment from living. Should we wish to be free and alive with full power, we must decide to bring the full might of our conscious mind to the present experience. We must choose to feel again. We must set intentions for who we are, for what roles we wish to serve, for how we'll relate with the world. Without a vibrant awareness, we cannot connect with others or ourselves, nor can we meet the demands of the hour with grace. For this, we now declare, we shall meet life with full presence and power. We have ceded control of our lives. Amid incessant distraction, our discipline in pursuing higher ambitions has vanished. The white space of a free day seems unfathomable because we have become hypnotized by a false but compelling need to respond to all the needs of others. We are pulled at from every angle, torn from meaningful efforts by frivolous pursuits or false emergencies, and we are often unsure how to balance our lives with the needs of those we love. We are too often detached from what is most worth fighting for. Our busy work consumes our day, but it's not our life's work. Most do not feel a stark, stirring life purpose. They don't hunger for it in the morning or orient their day to its pursuit. A life of greater joy, power, and satisfaction awaits those who consciously design their life. For this, we now declare, we shall reclaim our agenda. Something inside is sabotaging our natural drive toward freedom. It whines and roars for us to stop whenever we push beyond our comforts, whenever we choose to be authentic and loving in a scary world, whenever we seek to make a difference at the cost of our own position, whenever we desire something magnificent that, to obtain, would require hardship and work. Our internal demons poison us with worry and fear whenever we might be vulnerable, stunting our growth and vitality. Our destiny is decided by how well we know our demons of doubt and delay, how well we defend against them, and how many battles we win against them each day of our lives. Without self-mastery, we are slaves to fear. With it, greatness and transcendence are ours. For this, we now declare, we shall defeat our demons. Most of us are not maturing as fast as we are able. We are on constant pause. We wait and we wait to find out who we are, to declare our dreams, to struggle for what we want, to open ourselves fully to love and to life. We await personal courage to arise within us or for society to grant us some ill-defined permission to activate our potential. We have forgotten that courage is a choice and that permission to move forward with boldness is never given by the fearful masses. Most have forgotten that seeking change always requires a touch of insanity. If taking action before the perfect conditions arise or before we receive permission, is unreasonable or reckless, then we must be unreasonable and reckless. We must remember we are not the sum of our intentions, but of our actions. Bold and disciplined initiative is our savior. It allows us to rise, to leap, to soar to the heights of true greatness. We must not lose the urgency of this moment, as it begs for us to begin something grand and important. For this, we now declare, we shall advance with abandon. We are exhausted. All around us, we see faces that look weathered, drooped, stern. We hear conversations that sound increasingly quiet and resigned, like whispers from a tired, disbanding tribe. The emotional energy of the world is flatlining. Well-being has been cast aside for wealth, success favored over sanity. In the process, some have turned cold toward life and toward others. Where is the energized, heightened, exhilarated pulse one would expect from such a chosen and capable people? Why do we not hear more laughter and life? Where is the vibrant, mad fury and passion of the fully engaged human? Where are the people burning with charisma and joy and magnetism? Where is the appreciation for life's spark? We must examine our attitude toward life. Our supreme duty must be to rekindle the magic of life. For this, we now declare, we shall practice joy and gratitude. We compromise too easily when life becomes difficult. Most sacrifice individuality and integrity without a fight, although arrogance prevents seeing this truth. Too many of us believe ourselves strong when a long gaze across our lives would cite a pattern of quitting or withdrawing too soon. Often, when our loved ones needed us to be strong, or right when our dreams were just within reach. For convenience or the wide smile of popularity, we waffle on our word and give up what we truly believe in. But there is a nobility to those who do not let neediness or desperation compromise who they are. We must not follow any impulse to be weak or heartless. Instead, we must have a strong refusal to break, choosing that mighty lift of courage, that soaring commitment to love, that grand ascent to the realm of character that is congruent with our highest values. Freedom and victory belong to those who remain true and strong despite temptation. For this, we now declare, we shall not break our integrity. We are not transmitting or receiving love as we were divinely intended to. We are filtering love rather than feeling it. We fell for the prevailing hysteria that said, protect your heart. And we began to believe that love itself had enemies and needed protecting. When we were hurt, we felt that love was somehow diminished or damaged. But hurt has nothing to do with love, and love is unaffiliated with and unaffected by pain. Ego was hurt, not love. Love is divine. It is everywhere, ever-present and abundant and free. It is a spiritual energy that is, at this very moment, flowing through the universe, through us, through our enemies, through our families, through billions of souls. It was never absent from our lives. It is not bound in our hearts or in our relationships, and thus it is not capable of being owned or lost. We have allowed our awareness of love to diminish. That is all. In doing so, we have caused our own suffering. We must mature and realize that freeing our mind of ancient hurts and opening once more to love shall give us access to divine strength. To stand emotionally open before the world and give our hearts without fear of hurt or demand of reciprocity, this is the ultimate act of human courage. For this, we now declare, we shall amplify love. Generation after generation is failing to hold the line on the ideals and virtues of humanity. The low hum of mediocrity and the heinous pitch of narcissism have replaced what was once the chorus of society, singing to virtue, progress, and selflessness. Our talents and collective focus are not fully invested in personal mastery and social contribution, but squandered on voyeurism and base sensationalism. Too often, we don't call out a wrong, or expect ourselves or others to act with routine integrity, excellence, or love. there has been a worldwide failure in leadership, birthing an apathetic populace, unjustifiable poverty, unconscionable greed, and a globe ravaged and booby-trapped by war. So many people are afraid to demand more, to dare, as have the great leaders of the past, to incite the directionalists with bold challenges to rise and contribute. We must do better. From the squalor of a contaminated moral environment must surface an honorable few, unafraid to challenge the direction of the world. History shall fill in the wake of our actions. So let us be purposeful and let us be great. For this, we now declare, we shall inspire greatness. Hurry has become the master. We have stopped sensing the stillness, the stunning fullness and beauty and divine perfection of the moment. Most barrel through life, unaware of their senses and surroundings, deaf and blind to the magical qualities of this very moment. We are not supposed to miss it all, this life, but we do, all frazzled, stressed, and stripped away from now. The cost is immense. So many moments blurred by speed and worry and panic, all stacking onto hectic days, all creating the catastrophe of an unexperienced, joyless life. Many can only vaguely remember the last time they laughed so hard it hurt, loved so much it led to a beautiful flood, cheered so loudly it strained the vocal cords, felt so deeply it caused a showering of tears, had such a raucously good time that it became legend, moments fully lived. We must slow it all down, not just to become more present in the singular moment, but also to elongate that moment so that we truly sense it. Life is meant to be a vibrant, deeply felt, growing mosaic of long, meaningful moments. This day is to be enjoyed like a pause at a cool stream during the summer's heat. For this, we now declare, we shall slow time. Most of these problems in our lives have been self-imposed. Yet even when we became conscious of them, we sought change in the most humble terms. We set realistic goals, and we worked to achieve them. But fearful of unleashing our full power, we saw our will fade. We aimed low, and even our mighty efforts were dampened by distraction or the criticisms of a conformist culture. We complained with angst and anger that it should be easier, forgetting that much of the negative energy that pervades our lives comes from despising the inevitable hardships of change. Let us remember that humanity's story has only two perennially recurring themes, struggle and progress. We mustn't wish the end of the former, as the latter would be buried alongside it. And so let us be clear that the small, complaining, undisciplined part of ourselves, the distracted character, wanting nothing but convenience and ease, is unfit to be the ruler of our new destiny. Nor can we allow apathetic, small-thinking men and women to lay waste to our future. We mustn't let social pressures poison our potential. Surely, we have warned others from time to time that we do not care what they think or that their judgments of us are unwarranted. We have often complained, made kind requests of others, or reminded people of the circumstances that made us want to improve our lives. We have appealed to their magnanimity to be gentler or more supportive, and we have asked them as kindred spirits to stand with us against those who interrupt our charge. Yet too often, others have been deaf to our true voices. They didn't believe in us, or support us, or cheer us on when it mattered most. We must, therefore, not await their assistance or approval any longer. We must hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in battle, should they stand in the way of our dreams, but in peace and assistance, friends. Let us awaken now and realize there is greater vibrancy, joy, and freedom available to each of us. There is more feeling. There is more power. There is more love and abundance. But gaining access rests on our shoulders. For only two things can change our lives. Either something new comes into our lives, or something new comes from within. Let us not hope for mere chance to change our story. Let us summon the courage to change it ourselves. Some will stand in our way, but we mustn't hide or minimize ourselves any longer. Let us believe faithfully that our dreams are worth any struggle, and that it is our time to free ourselves and rise to glory. We, therefore, as free women and men of courage and conscience, appealing to our Creator for the strength to live our intentions, do, in the name of our destiny, solemnly publish and declare that our lives are, and of right ought to be, free and independent. We declare that we are absolved from allegiance to those who oppress or hurt us, and that all social connections between us and them are, and ought to be, totally dissolved, and that as free and independent persons, we have the full power to exert our true strength, live our dreams, find peace, create wealth, love openly those who have our hearts, contribute without fear or permission, strive for personal greatness, serve the common good, and do all other acts and things that independent and motivated persons have the right to do, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Section 1. On Human Nature. Freedom, Fear, and Motivation. Chapter 1. On Freedom. I want freedom for the full expression of my personality. Mahatma Gandhi. A vibrant, genuine, and purposeful life is the right of all humankind. But most of us fail to grasp it. We are lions and lionesses living as mice. Rather than exploring free on the savannah, we are living small and distracted lives. It is the calling of each man and woman who draws breath to have a grand vision for our lives, and to each day claim the vastness of that vision. Yet, rather than stalk our dreams with abandon, we too often sit and sulk, blaming and complaining, chasing after paltry goals that cheat the magnificence of our being. Is this our true nature? Surely not. We are all meant to be wild and independent and free, our hearts filled with a ferocious passion for life. The day is meant to be ours, and our purpose within it is to live as who we truly are and enjoy the full terrain of life's freedom as we chase our own meaning and purpose, our own legacy. If we can unchain ourselves from social restrictions, we can have that day, and we can leap and stretch, expressing our power to its limits. We can hunt our dreams with a fierceness unimagined by those creatures trapped in wastelands of stress and sorrow. So let us not forget the thing we are after. Humankind's main motivation is to seek and experience personal freedom. This is neither a political statement nor necessarily a Western philosophy. It would be difficult to deny that all people worldwide deeply desire the grand freedoms: social freedom, emotional freedom, creative freedom, financial freedom, time freedom, and spiritual freedom. No matter a person's religion or spiritual or life philosophy, they want the freedom to exercise it. This argument carries on. No matter how someone wants to feel in life, they want the freedom to feel it. No matter what one wants to create and contribute, they want freedom to do so. No matter what someone dreams of doing with their work time or free time, they want the freedom to direct it and enjoy it. No matter one's political perspective, they want the freedom to follow it and support it. And so at the base of all our desires is the greater desire for freedom to choose and actualize that desire. Choosing our own aims and seeking to bring them to fruition creates a sense of vitality and motivation in life. The only things that derail our efforts are fear and oppression. That is ultimately what personal freedom is: liberty from the restrictions of social oppression and the tragic self-oppression that is fear. Freed from these things, we have the ability to express who we truly are and pursue what we deeply desire without restrictions set by others or ourselves. When experiencing personal freedom, we have a heightened sense of genuineness and joy in our being. We feel unbounded, independent, and self-reliant. There is a palpable authenticity and aliveness in how we relate to others and contribute to the world. Personal freedom, our goal, means living freely by crafting life on our own terms, being free in the moment from oppressions of past hurts and present anxieties, being lighthearted and spontaneous as free spirits, courageously speaking our thoughts, feelings, and ambitions with those around us without concern about acceptance, enjoying our free will to pursue abundant happiness, wealth, health, achievement, and contribution, freely loving whom we choose with passionate abandon, standing freely on our own, professing and protecting our ideas and integrity, serving a mission that we have chosen, fighting to give our children a foundation in such freedom, building in their hearts the will to live as they choose so that they may meet oppression with courage and opportunity with a virtuous intent to contribute. Can anyone deny that these are things all humans desire and strive for? The call for individual freedom as the great human drive has been expressed for centuries by revolutionists, humanitarians, philosophers, and spiritual leaders. We have heard its essence voiced as the inalienable right of humankind to think for ourselves, to speak our minds, pursue happiness, seek peace and prosperity, and sing to our own conception of the divine without the conformity imposed by small minds or our own small-mindedness. Outside of tyrants oppressing their people through fear, this common argument is made across most modern cultures, political movements, and areas of human study. Each of us, every individual, ought to have the right to happily and peacefully move our lives forward without fear or hurt or imprisonment or arbitrary social constraints. We inherently know that when controlled by others, life loses its flair and we are cast into melancholy and mediocrity. Without such striving for individual freedom, what becomes of us? We relinquish our free will to a society of strangers that speaks not of liberty and courage, but of conformity and caution. Our true self is subjugated and a pseudo-self emerges, a mere reflection of a society that has lost its way. They start running our lives, and soon we are not us anymore, just walking zombies filled with the commands of others' preferences and expectations. We become those masked souls who spend their time wandering in a wilderness of sameness and sadness. We become tired and weak. We lose our nature. And then we see the worst of human behavior, a mass of people who do not speak up for themselves or others, but rather do only what they are told. From this reality, the worst of human horrors emerged in our past. The mass murders of races and classes because the powerful elite or the churches said to scorch the earth or cleanse the souls. The Holocaust cast upon millions as the world looked on for too long before acting. The mass indifference of a society that allows its people to starve and struggle. The despicable acts of mobs and madmen who simply do not respect the freedom or rights of the individual human. When freedom is gone, suffering sets in for all. Why does freedom pull so tightly at our hearts? It is because freedom is tightly bound to the human desire for ascension, our natural drive to rise from our circumstances and actualize our goals, our potential, our highest self. All things that make life worthwhile to great men and women, the pursuit of happiness, challenge, progress, creative expression, contribution, hard-won wisdom, and enlightenment, derive from our wanting to ascend to higher levels of being and giving. Every human has a natural inclination to ascend to higher planes of existence, but it rests upon each of us to match that inclination with real initiative. We must remember that freedom can be achieved only by diligent will and volition. Seeking to ascend in life takes grit and resolve, struggle and courage. But to those who make the effort belong all the glories of life and history. Consider that the great masters and leaders of yesterday trained themselves to be free from social and self-oppressions to an impressive degree. They struggled but learned to be free in the moment, to express who they truly were and to create and contribute to the world without paralyzing fear. They didn't feel the need to conform, but rather learned to be independent, unique, and genuine, even as they successfully served the world, even as they were often judged or jailed. On the ground of such personal liberation stand the world's most noble figures, Gandhi and Frankel and King and Mandela, were free even as they were imprisoned. Just look back at history, and freedom leaps from the page as iconic metaphors. It's the brave revolutionist who we saw as the lonely figure on the scaffold, refusing to recant his beliefs and quit the fight for independence. It's every great revolt we celebrate when we saw the outnumbered take the field against bigger, better armed forces, ready to be massacred so that their children may stand a fighting chance at seeing freedom another day. It's the forming of new nations where we saw bombs bursting in air and the homes of the brave being built on the foundation of liberty. It's the race for new lands where we saw wild horses thundering westward, carrying even wilder men racing to stake their claim for a new life. It's the soul of the Civil War where we saw neighbors divided into blue and gray, killing one another, blooding the earth of their homeland and yet rising eventually as one to abolish the idea that their fellow humans should ever be enslaved. It's the breaking of earthly bonds where we saw two brothers on a homemade flyer slip the surly bonds of gravity. It's the drive behind the First World War where we saw mud and blood-stained faces thousands of miles from home, dressed in olive drab, armed with nothing but knives and rifles and canteens and senses of duty, honor, and country. It's the fight against Hitler where we saw that tiny evil tyrant, monstrously enraged, inflicting horror and death on millions, finally destroyed by a band of nations, one led by a free man in a wheelchair. It's the greatest dream ever voiced, where we saw thousands march in fearful, bigoted towns against a wave of pick handles and dogs and fire hoses, where we saw hundreds of thousands march to that shining city on a hill to listen to one man's dream to let freedom ring. It's that giant leap of mankind where we saw that small metal capsule carry brave men in white, puffy suits beyond the blue sky into the blackness, transcending their own earthly limits, landing on the moon, coming home to a world that could never again believe in the impossible. It's the crumbling of the Berlin Wall where we saw millions hungering for freedom, tearing down the real and metaphorical wall dividing humanity. Decades and thousands of miles away, in another country whose great wall still stands, we saw a little man in a large public square stand defiantly in front of an oncoming tank, proclaiming his right to freedom. These are the enduring images of our history, colored by the blood, tears, toil, and sweat of those who sought and fought for some form of liberation. Over and over, we see millions march, millions fight, millions die, and millions thrive, all in the cause of freedom. The ultimate narrative of the human species is its quest for more freedom and the related struggles to ascend to higher standards of living and relating. In such divine desires to overcome tyranny, oppression, and the limits of our own darkness and small-mindedness, we find recurrent hope for humanity. Those who found hope and lived a free and happy life despite history's brutalities and darkness were not simply people of fortune or luck or fame, but rather of conscience and courage. They knew the demands of their time, that their destiny was unfolding with the man or woman to their left and to their right, and that they would need to remain motivated in overcoming both their internal demons and the social tyrants of the world. Theirs was a long march of effort and endurance and enlightenment. They declared without apologies their independence, their rights, and direction. Their only guide was an internal one, a manifesto in their minds that called for the courage to be themselves and the discipline to direct their energies toward higher purposes. Because of their example, we have many social freedoms to be thankful for. Worldwide, political freedom continues to grow or be desired. Financial freedoms are beginning to extend to more corners of the globe. Individuality and uniqueness is winning in commerce. All the freedoms we take for granted in the more liberated and abundant cultures, convenience on every corner, safety from physical threat, wide access to education and healthcare, arrived on the backs of men and women dedicated to some form of freedom. For this, we owe previous generations and in respect future generations, no less than to seek and find our own modern personal freedom. For this, we must awake each day in utter clarity that these are deeply momentous hours in our lives, when we will either shrink from similar greatness, preferring the approval of small minds, or stand on the shoulders of the noble and free people who refused to settle. So let us each, in our own way and in our own voice, echo their courage and proclaim freedom as our fight, our cause, the very challenge we awaken to experience and achieve. The doubts about freedom. Some have questioned if we have too much freedom, if our great liberties are too much of a good thing. The long light of this golden age of peace and prosperity has changed the world for the better. But for some, it has led to a sunburn on the soul, an excessive exposure to abundance that has led to indolence, greed, narcissism, and entitlement. But such people, even as they might live in the more politically liberated patches of earth, are not in truth free. They are caged by their own recurring vices. The man afflicted by hunger for power or money for its own sake is just that, afflicted. He is tormented by incessant desires for more without cause. He is the most likely to wear a social mask to succeed, and thus he is always unsure of himself and his life, the deep tear inside always causing him to obsess about how to get more, why he doesn't have it already, and whom he will have to please or become in order to get it. The woman, afflicted by the need for adoration, cannot have a free moment of real joy away from her obsession with self. She is slave to the never-ending quest for youth and beauty and social acceptance. Her endless desire blinds her from areas for growth and alienates others, ripping away her chances at genuine self-expression and the soaring kind of true love she deserves. And for the entitled, there can be only a constant whining misery. No person who believes they should be given everything for nothing will ever be free from an immature envy and contempt for those who have more than they do. The entitled are perhaps the most caged of all, slave to a grand fiction that the world owes them anything at all. So we find that even in abundant and politically free cultures, there is still the tyranny of conformity coupled with inner turmoil. This brings us back once again to the focus on personal freedom. The cause does not disappear simply because there is political or financial freedom. There will always be some form of social pressure, and we will always need to free ourselves from the vanities of the modern world so as not to become the lazy, greedy, and narcissistic caricatures of modern mankind. We will always need to work towards self-mastery and social prowess so that we can authentically express who we are and joyously seek what we desire of life. Let that be our work. A cause interrupted. It is only in active self-expression and pursuit of our own aims that we can become free. Thinking, feeling, speaking, and behaving in ways that are truly our own brings integrity and shapes the foundation for our happiness. How could we ever lose sight of this? Seeking personal freedom begins when we are young and starting to form our own beliefs and directing our own behaviors independent from the command of our caregivers. It is the child who takes her first steps away from her mother, who crosses the street safely by herself, who chooses with zeal what she wants to eat, wear, draw, or dress like. Hers is a story of our natural inclination to be independent, a desire to become our own persons. As we age, the impulse becomes more distinct, powerful, and intellectual. We consciously decide that we want to stand on our own, find our own way, chase our own dreams, break down our own boundaries, love without permission, and contribute without restriction. We decide to go away to school, break off an affair, take a risk, start a new career, join a movement, see the world. We start asserting our ideas because we want to make our own mark. This natural impulse never goes away. The issue is that our seeking is tragically interrupted in our lives again and again, stolen away by those around us or our own fearful thinking. And that is the reality that we now face. We must overcome social and self-oppression if we are ever to join the ranks of the free souls who love their lives and lead their people. Social oppressions. Our most difficult task is to defeat social oppression, the caging of our spirit and the stifling of our potential by others. We mean the moments when someone exercises judgment, authority, or power against us in a burdensome, cruel, manipulative, or unjust manner. It's when a parent controls us so much that we can't be ourselves. When a lover threatens to withhold love if we don't do what they say. When a boss lies and then threatens us against telling the truth. When we want to follow our own spiritual beliefs, but the culture suffocates us with its dogma. It's when any other person's petty judgments, harsh criticisms, demeaning comments, injuries, or unreasonable expectations and direct or indirect actions hold us back. When others make us feel insignificant, powerless, or unworthy, this is an effect of oppression. All the artificial barriers erected by a controlling society are part of this. The absurd informal rules or formal bureaucracies that limit people according to background, class, religion, race, ethnicity, sexual preference, age, or appearance. Some of us can remember dramatic times when we were mocked for being different or manipulated into conformity. We can recall situations when we compromised who we were to avoid conflict. We gave away pieces of our integrity in order to get along with others. We started acting like them in school or at the office. We faked it, put on a smile, walked the path we were told to. We did all we could to avoid the silence of ostracism or the sting of their judgment. We hoped, above all, to be secure, to be accepted, to belong. Social oppression is at work when the ways of others diminish who we are or stop us from pursuing our own goals. Often, the most highly adaptive among us are the least aware of this process, and often they are socially the least successful and authentic. They have adapted into a predictable character and have lost their spontaneity and authenticity. They do not recognize themselves any longer in the mirror. They have forfeited their individuality. They are but caricatures of collective preference. No free-thinking person wants such a fate, and so we must be eternally vigilant in refusing the desire to conform. Yet the sense of security people get from conformity cannot be understated. It is one of the great enemies of personal freedom. The structures and rewards of society give order to an individual, but job titles, raises, Mr. and Mrs., positions on advisory boards, and public acclaim rarely give us deep meaning. They can indeed make it easier to be confident in our direction. If we follow in preordained paths what others are doing, then we can get signals that we are on track and that we will likely be accepted. But what if we chase all that and believe in all that, and then one day awake to find those things aren't what matters most? To ask such a question, to rattle the cage of conformity, is to invite real risk into our lives. Once freed from the cage, an animal finds itself alone, unsure of what to do, separated from a life and things that it understands. The sudden uncertainty can be paralyzing. If we had total freedom in life, what exactly would we do? Where would we go? How would we behave day to day? And what would give us meaning? These questions can be terrifying. With this uncertainty, there is also risk of vulnerability and loneliness. We are vulnerable because we are beyond the safe bars of the cage that, while limiting, make us feel secure. Those still trapped in the cage no longer see the freed as one of them. To refuse others' expectations may bring about our greatest fears, that we will be left isolated or abandoned, deemed inferior, thought unworthy of love. But to stay confined by other people's rules brings about other risks. Chasing the prizes that society tells us we must want can also drive us from our true self. How many artists turned from their art because they were told that they had to make money in a traditional way? How many talented people shirk their strengths to fit into a more needed but less fulfilling role? How many have given up their dreams in order to follow a more secure and profitable and socially accepted path? The aims of others, our parents, our teachers, our spouses, our fans, can become our aims if we are not vigilant. Their certitude can replace our quest for something new. Their collective meaning can subjugate our search for our individual meaning. Yes, let us be wary. We can quickly lose ourselves in others and in our culture. We become not free and genuine humans, but rather slaves to opinion. This is the ultimate misery, living a life that is not our own. A difficult choice must therefore be made between the comforts of fitting in and pleasing others and our higher motive for personal freedom. This choice is easier once we reach the levels of maturity and enlightenment that allow us to see that we can be individually free, but not entirely apart from our culture and those we love. That independence does not preclude interdependence. That individual uniqueness does not mean we must be social or spiritually distant outcasts. We learn that the more we are true to ourselves, the more we can connect with and contribute to the world. We find that the more free and spontaneous and authentic we become, the more our motivation and aliveness returns, and the more others are attracted to us and want to be around us. Self-oppressions. Unfortunately, most oppression comes not from others, but from a source we least suspect: ourselves. Self-oppression is the condition of letting our own negative thoughts and actions restrict us. It is an inside job, a burdening of our spirit by incessant doubt, worry, fear, and distraction. None of us wants to be the cause of our own failure in life, yet most often, we are. It is our own inept thinking, our own bad habits, that rip the vibrancy from life. We are the ultimate oppressors of our own happiness. Self-oppression is evident whenever we limit ourselves. We stay home instead of going out because we are too anxious to explore. We procrastinate on an important assignment or exciting new venture because we cannot overcome our uncertainty. We fool ourselves into thinking that things must be perfect before we release our art into the world, when the clear reality is we're just too undisciplined to get things done. We lie to ourselves, break our own resolutions, allow our dreams to slide away without grasping at them. Is it not clear to us that we can be our own worst enemy? But we can also be our own saviors. Through the active expression of our genuine nature and the steady efforts to master our minds and move our lives forward, we can finally, after all this time, experience the freedom and joy that we deserve in life. This is why we seek personal growth: to be free from the pain we cause ourselves, to make better choices, to feel better about who we are becoming, to act more confidently in social situations, and to unleash our full creativity and contributions into the world in order to make our highest difference. Gaining personal freedom in this sense is letting go of any self-doubt and self-loathing and allowing ourselves permission to be our unique, powerful, authentic selves. It is in freeing ourselves to be present and genuine in life that we find trust and confidence in ourselves, that we grow and master and realize our highest selves, that we find authentic joy in our interactions and experiences in the world, that we feel motivated and liberated. Indeed, the telltale signs that someone is free and healthy are genuineness and growth. Aware of these things, we must have responsibility and courage to think for ourselves, to ask, are my ambitions, attentions, affections, and actions truly of my own choosing? Am I being my genuine self in the world and pursuing things that deeply matter to me? Am I opening myself to change and challenges so that I can stretch and grow into my full potential? This kind of personal diligence reminds us that personal power is directly tied to personal responsibility, which most people avoid. Some might hope that freedom means we can give up or release responsibilities from our lives, but nothing could be further from the truth. The thinking goes, if I am free, shouldn't I be free from all responsibilities? But personal freedom is not liberty to finally indulge in whatever passing moods or inclinations strike our fancy. It doesn't mean we can act on every fast need, be cruel to others around us when we feel like it, take whatever we want whenever we want it, or act as an irresponsible buffoon simply because it would be fun or pleasurable in the moment. All this would be merely slavery to unconscious impulse and compulsion. Freedom requires responsibility to choose who we are above and beyond our immediate impulses, needs, and social pressures, so that we can genuinely express the type of person we want to be, live the life we truly want to live, leave the legacy we desire. If we are not free to choose our character and conduct and legacy, then we are controlled by something else. Thus, we are lacking freedom. And if we are not responsible for our beliefs and behaviors, then someone or something else is. Thus again, we are slaves. And so the great demand is clear. We must be conscious and responsible for our beliefs and behaviors if we are ever to be free. Just as freedom does not mean the release of responsibility, it also does not necessarily mean the absence of struggle. To be sure, we all crave to be free from pain and limitation, but our quest for personal freedom is more complex. Yes, we want release from pain, but paradoxically, we don't mind adding discomfort to our lives in order to stretch ourselves, to grow, to make a difference. We'll accept pain for gain, which is why we will push our bodies so hard to become stronger and faster, why we'll rise early despite fatigue to care for someone we love, why we'll sacrifice our time to help those in need, why we'll suffer through what is not right for a period of time to more sooner have what is right. Thus, personal freedom is more than just being free from pain. It is about being free to live, to truly enjoy and expand in life. It is not merely freedom from bad things that limit us, but freedom to experience good things that awaken us. Long ago, the human species transcended base animal instincts. When we found reason, judgment, and intelligence, we were able to choose beyond our simple physical impulses to avoid pain or seek pleasure. We learned that meaning is more important than immediate pleasure. Indeed, what have we learned from all our mentors, heroes, teachers, survivors, leaders, saints, and legends, if not that in our finest hours, we are willing to forego pleasure and endure pain in order to have freedom, meaning, love, and transcendence. And so we want freedom from pain, and yet we'll celebrate meaningful struggle and hardship because we know those very things will free us from one level of life and set us into another. We know that pain can be necessary and heroic, that our difficulties need not be condemned, but often seen as a rite of passage that opens the doors to greatness. In this way, personal freedom is perhaps an enlightened and romantic ambition, heroic and poetic, but real nonetheless. It is the human drive to transcend. Could it be that this transcendence, this personal freedom, is the main motivation of mankind because it is also the ultimate demand and destination of the human experience? In our living days, we strive to have more freedom of choice and prosperity so that we can genuinely express ourselves and provide more opportunities to those we love. And in our last moments, all that we have suffered for and suffered from shall be released as our souls slip into the ultimate freedom of the divine. That is it. In life, we seek freedom. In death, we are released into its vastness. A dedicated pursuit. To achieve and sustain personal freedom, we must dedicate ourselves to self-mastery. We must determine and discipline our own motivations to stay true to our own sense of self, to our own path. With this in mind, we needn't ever be confused about why we act the way we do. This truth is worth repeating once more to drill it deep into our psyche so that our actions are no longer accidental or such a frustrating mystery. Every decision and action of humankind stems from a hope to attain personal freedom. We seek to be free from hardship, pain, fear, anxiety, and want. Free from oppression. Free to be ourselves. Free in the moment to sense surprise, spontaneity, and our own spirit. Free to choose our own life's course. Free to pursue our dreams. Free to love openly without judgment or condition or regret. Free to give our time and energy and resources to causes we believe in. Free to experience and enjoy future peace, passions, and prosperity. It is the primary motive for all our striving, to be free. If we can remember that it is personal freedom we seek, then we can organize, aim, and realize ourselves. And so let us now be fully conscious of personal freedom as our driving force. And let us remember to honor that drive in our daily ambitions and actions. Let freedom ring in our ears once more, this time more loudly, more closely, more personally. Let us be bold in our self-expression and dedicated in building our ideal lives. There is no veil of ease about the extraordinary effort required to be free. Breaking from conformity and pursuing our own dreams will bring some discord upon us. There will be personal struggle and sacrifice, fear and misfortune, as we try to exert ourselves in the world once more. A vital dedication to our genuine nature and our dreams will annoy people or raise their ire. It will injure egos, step on toes, split relationships, and force interventions with those who try to limit us or stop our march. We might have to confront the bullies, break up with the jerks, leave the poisonous work environment, and challenge others to higher standards. Yes, this work will be hard. So let us take stock of what lies ahead. This work will require that we finally declare who we are and what we want. It will require new levels of presence and power and ownership in the important roles we play in our lives. It will require us to upend our very days and finally reestablish personal control of our agenda. It will require the courage to defeat the internal demons that defy our greatness. It will require the willingness to advance with abandon beyond our own comfort zones. It will require new practices of joy and a greater sense of gratitude. It will require that we refuse to break our integrity when faced with hardship. It will require that we unleash love so that our soul can soar. It will require a rise to greatness so that we may serve and lead and leave our mark. And it will require that we sense time differently so that we might experience each moment's vastness and freedom. For each of these efforts, we must set bold new declarations in our lives. To spend the full force of our energies advancing toward a personal freedom, the genuine life full of vibrancy and meaning, this shall be our aim. Let us marshal our motivations to align with such a high and worthy cause. Let us set new declarations and discipline in our life. Let the value of freedom ring through every crevice of our minds, through every thought and action we choose, through every relationship we influence, through the long days and long marches that lead to our highest selves and highest contributions, through all the hopeful dreams born from a liberated soul.